Please remain standing and pray with me. Spirit of the living God, would you reveal these things to us this morning? Would you help us to see you more clearly and to know you more fully? Lord, we want to see you, God. We want to be pure in heart so that we can see you this morning. And we need you to make that happen this morning by the Spirit in us who has enlivened us and made us alive this morning. God, we ask that you would give me words to speak, words of life from you. And Lord, give us all ears to hear what you are saying, what the Spirit is saying to the church. Lord, make us humble this morning. Help us to worship you and glory in your presence even more this morning as we have already this morning. Lord, bless us now as we come to your word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So this is where we're at, okay? This is the first Sunday after Pentecost. It's a translation, Trinity Sunday, okay? Trinity Sunday. So looking back from where we've come, I guess for you, it would be this way, right? Okay. So looking back on the great 50 days of Easter, this was the season where we remember that God the Father has revealed himself perfectly in God the Son, Jesus. And after this, Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, and we celebrated this 50 days after Easter Sunday. We celebrated the Feast of the Ascension, where all authority in heaven and on earth is given to Jesus as he sits at the right hand of the Father. And last week, we celebrated what Jesus shockingly told his disciples, and what we heard in our gospel reading this morning, this very shocking text. It is to your advantage that I go away. And how is it to your advantage? Because the Father sent the Helper, God the Holy Spirit, and he will not only be among you, he will be in you. He will dwell in you. And so that's what we celebrated last week, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we've celebrated three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in Christian theology, we believe that there is one God in three persons. And so, here we are, Trinity Sunday. Are you lost yet? I'm not going to be able to unpack all that for you this morning. Suffice it to say, to look deeply into the nature of the tri-personal God of the Bible is an all-consuming task. You can spend the rest of your life and all of eternity trying to know God more fully. But as we study God, we must always remember, as we look into who he is and how he's revealed himself to us, we have to always remember that God is not on trial, okay? Or C.S. Lewis said, God is not in the dock. We are not judging him. To see God face to face is not about bringing God down to our level. Not about bringing God down to our level so that we can analyze him, so that we can figure him out. It's about us being lifted up in Christ to make our home with him. So Trinity Sunday is not about analyzing and try to cram God into our brains, into our minds. It's a day for being lifted up in him, into the fellowship of the Holy Trinity, as we heard this morning, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. This is a heart exercise more than it is a head exercise. Trust me, even though there's going to be a lot of thinking going involved this morning. Holy, 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 we've heard this a lot this morning. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. So last year I had the wonderful opportunity to preach on Trinity Sunday. This year I had the opportunity to do that again. And like I said last year, there are 1,000 sermons you could preach about the Holy Trinity, but I'm gonna focus on one topic this year. One topic, and that's holiness. Holiness. C.S. Lewis once said that to become holy must be great fun. I'm still trying to figure that one out. It's hard work. I don't know exactly quite yet what he's saying. I think it's probably because he was a little bit holier than I am. There are many attributes of God in Scripture. love, mercy, grace, power, wrath, kindness. I could go on. There's a long list. But the Bible never says God is love, love, love. It never says that. There's only one attribute of God in the whole of the Bible that is repeated three times. Holy, holy, holy. Holiness is in many ways the sum total of the attributes of God. More than anything else, God is holy. So yes, God is love. But what kind of love? What kind of love does God have? He has a holy love. He has a holy love. And I could just keep going and going. I could keep going with this. The early church fathers taught that this threefold repetition, this super duper duper holiness, or super superlative, if you want to sound like a smart theologian, pointed to the thrice holy Trinity, which is what we sung this morning, the trisagion, the thrice holy God. There are many wonderful points of theology that we Anglicans want to be known for. There are adjectives all over our websites and our conferences, like sacramental and liturgical and missional, gospel-centered or creational. And all of these for good reasons, okay? Hear me. All of them for very good reasons. But holiness rarely makes it onto the list. I think it's probably because, as J.I. Packer pointed out, we find holiness to be passé. Or if you're a normal person like me who doesn't understand what passé means, it's just not fashionable. It's not fashionable. We can't market holiness. Or else, in our postmodern attempt at humility, we don't emphasize holiness because we don't want to sound arrogant or exclusive. God is the one and only Holy One, and everything and everyone else is a lame pretender. That sounds a little too bold for most of our tastes. We hear all the time that Christians are supposed to be loving and merciful and humble, and we're not supposed to be holier than thou. We're not supposed to be holier than thou. We don't often hear, though, about being holy. We don't often talk about becoming a saint or a sanctified one, a holy one, a holy person. And so, if you haven't figured it out by now, we're going to talk about holiness this morning. And so I want to answer three questions. The first question, what is holiness? Let's get a definition. What is holiness? And secondly, why aren't we holy? Why aren't we holy? And three, how can we become holy? How to become a saint, okay, this morning. So number one, what is holiness? Okay, so let me pause. Before I define holiness, okay, we need to talk about three other things. Three other things that are almost always circling around the idea and the topic of holiness in Holy Scripture. And these three things are worship, power, and purity. These are not the definition of holiness yet, but they're always kind of right around the idea of holiness. So we need to go there first. As we saw in Revelation chapter 4 already this morning, day and night the heavenly host never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So we've been unpacking this reality for like 2 months. So if you've missed all these sermons on Revelation that we did over the course of Easter, go back and listen to those. And if you've forgotten already or if you didn't hear those sermons, here was the summary in a lot of ways of what we were talking about in Revelation. Revelation is centrally and primarily about worship. It's about worship. We worship the triune God. To God and to the Lamb and to the sevenfold Spirit belong all glory and honor and praise. So this idea of worship is always circling around the idea of holiness. You probably won't walk out of here remembering much of this sermon, what I'm about to finish here in a few minutes. But guess what you probably will do? You'll probably walk out of here singing. You'll be singing, holy, 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 or else you'll be singing, holy God. That one will be stuck in your head for the rest of your life. That one is catchy. So any time in the Bible we get close to this idea of holiness or the holiness of God, we quickly get to the idea of worship, okay? So this is right there with it. Two more ideas around holiness, power, and purity. We heard it said, and we heard it read, and we sang it this morning. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Almighty. Isaiah chapter 6, the calling of Isaiah. Isaiah wasn't an outsider like most of the other prophets. He was a part of the king's court. He was an insider. And Yahweh God calls him by lifting him up. Just like John is lifted up into the heavenly court, Isaiah is lifted up into the heavenly court to hear worship, right? The same song that we heard in Revelation, the same song to hear worship and to see God, and to see God. And what does Isaiah do? What does Isaiah do? He falls apart. He says, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm disintegrated. This is what psychologists, my whole being is just is fractured. I've fallen apart. I'm undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Isaiah is undone by the holiness of God, by the perfect purity of the Lord God Almighty. This is what R.C. Sproul calls the trauma of holiness. The trauma of holiness. John Calvin says, it hints that dread and amazement with which holy men were struck and overwhelmed when they beheld the presence of God. Men never duly touched and impressed with a conviction of their insignificance until they have contrasted themselves with the majesty of God. So to be face to face with a holy God is to fall down dead. And if by God's infinite mercy he calls you into his court to see him, if he invites you in, if you are welcomed in by grace, then the only proper response is to fall down at the feet of the king and to worship him. So I'm going to give you one more story, one more image in your mind. I want you to turn in your Bibles, turn in your pew Bibles to page 60, Exodus 19. Now, before Exodus 19, what does Charlton Heston say to Pharaoh? Yeah, there you go. Good job. Let my people go. But the second part is left out. So that, let my people go so that they might bring a feast to me in the wilderness. They might worship me. Go and serve Yahweh. Go and hold a feast. Go and worship. So I will deliver you, my people. Yahweh God delivers them out of Egypt through the Red Sea so that they might bow down and worship. And so this is where we're at in the story. They have come out of Egypt. They've gone through the sea. And now they're in the wilderness. And this is right before the giving of the law. Exodus chapter 19. Moses, before he comes down and gives the 10 words, the 10 commandments, this is the scene, Exodus chapter 19, and we really need to experience this morning. In verse 4, Exodus 19 and verse 4, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. This is grace. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a kingdom of intercessors between all the nations of the world and me. This is the Abrahamic covenant. All the nations are to come. You're all supposed to be priests to me, a holy nation, a holy nation. Skipping down to verse 10 of Exodus 19. The Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them. Make them holy. Consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot, whether beast or man. He shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people, and he consecrated the people. He made them holy, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. On the morning of the third day, There were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now, Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And skipping down to verse 22, also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, make themselves holy. The meaning of this text, there's a whole lot to unpack in this text, but I think the meaning of this text is so closely tied up in the experience of this text. So close your eyes. Actually, close your eyes with me. Close your eyes. Imagine making preparations to come near a great mountain, making sure your kids stay close and don't run off and die, making sure the family dog doesn't run across the line and die, and thunder and lightning and the loudest trumpets you've ever heard, the smell of smoke in your nostrils, the unimaginable heat on your face from the holy fire coming down from heaven, and the almighty and perfectly righteous King of the universe has come down to sit on his throne. This is the perfect storm of the unimaginable power and the untouchable purity, the unfathomable size and majesty of God. Another way to say it, the holiness of God. So you can open your eyes. You can open your eyes. So this comes back to our question. What is holiness? What is holiness? Now, for all the Bible nerds in the room, I will gladly show you a bunch of footnotes later. I'm not gonna unpack all those this morning, but suffice it to say, we have all probably grown up with a primary meaning of holiness is to be set apart. Set apart. I'm going in a different direction following Old Testament scholar Peter Gentry, and here is how he defines holiness. The basic meaning of holiness is this: consecrated to or devoted to. Consecrated to or devoted to. So why does this matter? Why does this matter? Holiness is not centrally about absence, what you don't have, but devotion. It's not about what you're giving up, right? What you're separated from. It's centrally about to whom and to what you are devoted to. What you are devoted to. So it's not about your back. It's about your face. It's about your face. Holiness is directional. It's not primarily divisive, okay? This is really important. God is the perfectly devoted one. He is the holy husband, the faithful, devoted lover, the unwavering, constant judge, always and everywhere perfectly devoted to righteousness. All of that to say, Yahweh God is holy. He is holy. Therefore, image bearer, you Christian, image bearer of God who is the devoted one, all of you, all of us together, be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. You see, we were created to be holy and to approach the Holy One, to be near him, to devote heart, mind, soul, strength to him. In the Bible, you can either consecrate or devote yourself to Yahweh, to God, or you can consecrate or devote yourself to approach Baal. You can be holy to Baal. You can be holy to God, or you can be holy to an idol. You are enslaved to Christ, or you are enslaved to sin. You are either alive to God, or you are dead in your desires and your trespasses and your sins. You are either, in other words, you are either a saint, a holy one who pursues Yahweh, or you are a sinner, which is the pursuit of everything else in every other direction but him. Okay? So what? Holiness, or to be holy, means devotion to fill in the blank. So what? So let's get practical. Point number two. Why aren't we holy? Why aren't we holy? Why aren't we devoted to God? Why don't we seek God first and his righteousness? The overwhelming answer for most of us isn't that we are devoted to Satan. Fill in the blank with something that's super shocking and way out there, okay, in your mind, okay? It isn't that we're devoted to Satan. We are not too high and we are not too low. Most of us are stuck in the middle. We're stuck in the middle. We are devoted to distraction. Why aren't we holy? We're devoted to distraction. R.C. Sproul puts it like this: when a human being tries to consecrate what God has never consecrated, it is not a genuine act of consecration. It is an act of desecration. It is an act of idolatry. We, so when I say we, I mean me and us in this room. Not people out there, not people out there who are redefining marriage, okay? We are devoted to the distraction of desire, to fleeting passions, not because we have too much desire and we can't contain it, but because our desire is so weak that we are content with lame and limp idols. With lame and limp idols. We devote ourselves to fornication, to the addictive highs and lows of fleeting hormones. We devote ourselves to violence. Most of us not outwardly, but inwardly. Watching or reading hours and hours of violence in the news. And it's not all about blood and gore. When you think about violence, I'm talking about conflict. Constant and total conflict all the time. What people say they want from the news, and there's more footnotes on this sermon, I'm not going to unpack them all again. What people say they want from the news is not what they actually watch. That's not what they watch. They watch the exact opposite. Everybody lies. We lie in surveys, and we lie to ourselves. And why do we do this? We say we want resolution in politics, but we really want to constantly fight. Nothing is ever resolved, because if there was ever resolution, then we would have to stop for just a minute. We would have to stop for just a minute and contemplate our own brokenness and sin, our feeling empty, our never having peace and rest. We distract ourselves with wimpy desires like marijuana and fornication and drinking and violence over and over again, because the thought of sitting alone with myself, sitting alone with God, is unbearable. So we numb the pain. We are amusing ourselves to death. The Apostle Peter puts it like this: therefore, Christian, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. You see, it's really easy to turn a car around 180 degrees when the car is moving. But try to turn a car around that is stalled, that is stopped. It's really difficult. This is devotion to distraction, being stuck in the middle. Sex, violence, and politics, and entertainment. And we wonder why smartphones have changed us so much. The next time you're sitting alone with your smartphone, the next time you're sitting alone in the wilderness of temptation, on the couch with your girlfriend or boyfriend, on the couch with your nightly liturgy of drinking away your stress and anxiety with alcohol, in the car devoting your morning drive to violence and outrage on the news, on the couch in the malaise of watching unceasing acceptable entertainment, the next time you're sitting alone, imagine that you are seated not on a couch, but in the court of heaven, on the mountain of God, and that you're not alone. That will drive out your wimpy desires. The presence of a holy God. You are not alone with yourself or your smartphone or your girlfriend. Imagine that you are seated next to the white hot holy presence of the Lord God Almighty. Christian, the Spirit of the Holy God, all the fiery hot holiness of God dwells not only next to you, but in you, inside you by the Spirit of God, not outside you as a violent and domineering dad or something like that, some kind of imaginary mean guy in your head, but the indwelling and consuming fire of the Holy Helper inside you. So you, Christian, hear this. You are forever sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, forever united to Christ, forever in Christ by faith. Think on these things. Let this be in your imagination in those moments. Don't drown out or cover up your lack of holiness to God with unceasing distractions. Repent and return to the warmth and the security of the holy God on his holy mountain. Devote yourself to knowing and loving him. I have been sitting on this all week, and it has been a very heavy week for me. Just ask my wife. I've learned to not preach the sermons all week to her, so she had no idea why I was so heavy this week. She figured it out in the first service. Something that R.C. Sproul said, that the closer we get to the holiness of God, the higher we exalt God, the further away we are from it. That's where I felt all week. I've been sitting in the silence with the holy God. The holiness of God has disintegrated me. It has undone me this week. And just like Isaiah, as I'm broken, I'm crying out for the fiery God to come and to cauterize my wound, to sear me with a burning coal. But here it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is the answer to our lack of holiness? How can we become holy? Hear this. Hebrews chapter 10. And I'll remind you from last week, Father Ben said, you can't. Here's the answer. You can't. You can't do it on your own. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being made holy, those who are being sanctified. Verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place, we can go across the line. We're not going to burn up because Christ has come. We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. How can you become holy? God has to break in and make us holy. There is no other way. The holy mountain of Sinai, the earth trembling with the holiness of the Lord God Almighty, lightning and thunder, smoke and fire. The holy mountain of Sinai and the holy mountain of Calvary. The holy mountain of the cross of Christ, the earth trembling with the holiness of the Lord God Almighty, lightning and thunder. The veil of the temple is torn in two. And if you confess Christ as Lord, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that he was raised from the dead, you are made holy. You are made holy. The veil is torn and you can go into the most holy place, into the presence of Almighty God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and you can now draw near to the Holy God. Great saints have often been made out of great sinners, Peter Kraft says, but not one was ever made out of a wimp. Great saints have often been made out of great sinners, but not one was ever made out of a wimp. So here's my final question for you. Are you a great sinner? Because if you're a great sinner, there is hope for you. Turn away from your sin. Renounce your devotion to wimpy idols and distractions and desires, and return to the Lord. Only great sinners who come by faith in the holy God and with repentance for sin are welcome at this table. So if you're a great sinner this morning, come by faith and with repentance for sin in the power of the Holy Spirit, the holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They all cry out to you this morning, come. Amen.